Ask for your prayers this afternoon. Need the Lord's blessing upon His Word, upon His vessel to deliver it. I'd like to start in the third chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon's instruction here is a familiar passage. It's one that seems especially fitting of her to use, to believe, if I remember correctly. It was one that I even used in my graduation address to a young man, to a young person as they're starting out, finding their way in life. So many decisions ahead of them. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Don't lean upon your own understanding, your own ability, and it seems like it's almost in contradiction to the message of the world today that says you can do anything. You set your sights and you shoot for the stars and you chart your own course in life, and maybe there's some value in trying to give our young people in the world today some incentive, some motivation to get up off the couch and go do something. But the Scripture says there's more to it than what you're able to do yourself. There's more to life, even at a stage of life when perhaps we feel so capable. We feel strong and in the prime of life. Don't lean into your own understanding. Don't depend upon your own ability to find your own way. For what does the Scripture say? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't believe I'm an exception to that. I don't believe sometimes people tend to think, I'm not one of the average ones. I'm an above average driver. I'm an above average this or above average that. The average is for everybody else. But everybody else perhaps tends to think the same thing. You know, I'm no exception to this. The way that seems right into my own eyes, to my own way of thinking and logic, is a way that'll lead to death. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to recall our attention, maybe we won't turn to it, but you remember a time whenever Joshua, the children of Israel, they hadn't been long in the Canaan land, whenever they were met by a scraggly group of travelers that were coming their way, and they were wearing tattered clothes and shoes that had holes in them and moldy bread, and they came to him and they presented something that seemed very logical, very acceptable, very reasonable to them. They said, "We be come from a far country. We've come a long ways and we want to make a league with you. We want to be able to have a covenant of peace with you," because they had heard, of course, as we understand the story and looking upon it, they weren't from a long ways. They were from afar off. They were in one of the cities that had heard, the Gibeonites, I believe they were, they had heard of what was happening, of the conquests and the victories and the overturning of cities and kings, and heard all those things, and they feared, and they came and they sent an ambassage to say, "Don't do that to us. We don't want to face that same kind of doom." Well, what did the Lord say? Did the Lord have anything to say about this? At that moment, they didn't stop to ask Him. At that moment, you know, that's one of the biggest mistakes that we can make. Sometimes we can go about life and think, "I got this one. I can handle this one. This one, this is a no-brainer," as they say. "I can see this one. This is a simple one for me." You know, the simple ones for us, if we lean in our own understanding, will be the ones that will cause us to fall. Joshua, as he looked at that, they determined, "Let's do it." They made a covenant with them whenever the Lord said, before this, "Don't make a league with the inhabitants of the land." You don't make a league. You don't make a covenant. You know, at that time, if they had not leaned into their own understanding, They could have said, no, the word of the Lord said thus. The word of the Lord said, we can't do this. We can't make this league. And it would have saved them much trouble. You can look down generations later. They were still, the children of Israel were still being held by God to this covenant that they had made. Because in a moment, at a time when something confronted them and they had to make a decision, they leaned into their own understanding. You know, I believe there's a danger for us. At times in life, whenever, and folks so often, we're faced with decisions. We're faced with situations and circumstances. You know, many times the decisions that we make, we don't have all the information in front of us. You know, many times I've heard over the last few years, especially it seems like, news articles about police and incidents with police and use of deadly force and questions of their use of force in this circumstance and that circumstance. And I'm not here to say that they're always right or wrong or stake a position on that. But I have remember reading or hearing at one time that a group of civil leaders that were protesting and saying the police always do this and they always, why did they do that? Why did they make that decision? They were invited by the captain of the force or whoever it was. They said, we have a simulator that we want you to go through. And it was one that trains the police officers and it puts them in the shoes of a police officer. There is a situation that's unfolding on the screen before them. Somebody will come out and they pull a gun on them. And you have to make a decision in a snap moment. That's not a time that you say, hold on a minute, let's talk about this. Hold on a minute, is that thing real? Hold on a minute, does that have a bullet in it? You've got to make a fast decision on the spur of the moment like that. And those individuals that came out of the training had their eyes open. They said, we realize now that it's not as always as easy as it is looking back on it. You know, we can do it with history sometimes. Why did they make that decision back then? Now I can look at it and I can see because hindsight's 20/20, as they say. Now I have more of the facts in front of me. Now I'm able to see and understand. But you know, if I go back and if I were in their shoes, chances are I wouldn't have any more information than they had. And I'd be faced with a life-changing decision that I have to make. I know these few pieces of information and I have to make a decision. And I'd love to be able to say, I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to have to choose. But the reality is in life I have to make decisions. I have to respond. I have to react to people. Burden that I have this afternoon is about righteous judgment. That the Lord would help us to be able to realize our limitation. To be able to realize that many times when I'm faced with a circumstance in life, I don't have all the facts. I don't have all the pieces of information. I'm looking at a situation and I'm seeing somebody that's clothed with an old clothes. And oh, it makes so much sense to me. And I can so quickly draw a picture in my mind and say, this is what it is. I know this is what it is. Why, I can look at him. I can look at the moldy bread. I can make a determination in my own mind. Surely this is the way it is. The Lord is able to see so much more of the picture that we're not able to see. And so I believe Solomon said, don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. Lord, I may think that I've got this one, but Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your wisdom today. I need discernment today. I need understanding today. In this dealing with this family member, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need wisdom. I may think that I know the way that I need to go with this, but Lord, I may not have the full picture. Lord, I realize that I'm limited in my understanding. To acknowledge our dependency, to acknowledge our handicap. Lord, I'm handicapped. And I need wisdom and discernment. My thoughts, Isaiah 55 said of the Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My Ways are not your ways. They're higher than yours as the heavens are above the earth. There's no comparison. So lean upon me. And the judgments and the determinations or the decisions that I have to make in life. Had a circumstance a few weeks ago. We had just come back from West Virginia, I believe it was, for a weekend. I got a call the following day. Katrina said, "Clint, I'm a little concerned." Said, "I just went down in the basement and there's a partially smoked cigarette laying on the floor." Well, as soon as I heard that, I thought, it's none of us. I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't any of us. And I know before I went to West Virginia, that cigarette was not lying on the floor. And so I began with these few facts. It wasn't there before we left. It's there when we got back, and it wasn't us. So from that, I can pretty quickly draw a picture. Somebody's been in our house. Somebody's been in there. They were smoking a cigarette in the basement, and they left it. Well, immediately the imagination can begin to kick in. With just a few dots of the picture, I can complete the picture in my own mind. This is what it was. And I would have been the same way. Katrina said, "He could still be here. He could still be in the house." Or maybe, and I thought, well, maybe he was there when we got home and he heard us opening the door and he was in the basement. And furthermore, when we went and looked at the door, it was right in front of our basement door that goes outside. The door was unlocked. I thought, well, that's how he got in. I've got another piece of information now. Maybe he heard the noise when we got home and he went out the outside door and we just missed it like that. So I picked up my phone. I wasn't ready to call 911, but I called the non-emergency dispatch number and I said, "Listen, this is the circumstance. Here's the facts as I know it. What do you recommend?" They said, "We'll send somebody right out." So they sent two somebodies right out. Cars parked out in front of our house and neighbors no doubt wondering what's going on at the Doolittle's house. They came down and said, "Well, show us. Are you missing anything?" "No." "Do you have any jewelry?" "Well, you got the wrong people for that." "Any valuables that perhaps are missing?" "No, nothing like any sign of forced entry." "No, that's the strange thing." "Well, what's the motive then? Why would somebody..." So he went down and looked at it and looked the cigarette over and picked it up and said, "You know, it looks like an old one." But it still didn't make any sense because I knew it wasn't there before I left. Anyway, shorten the story a bit. They couldn't figure anything out. They said, "We can't do DNA samples on the cigarette because there's no evidence of a crime having been committed. There's nothing missing." So he said, "Keep your doors locked, keep your eyes open, and call us if anything happens." Well, that didn't reassure me a whole lot. It still had an unsolved mystery, and as soon as they walked outside of the house and said they were going to walk around and look for evidence of attempted entry, Katrina said, "You know, it's almost like it fell down from above." And so we looked up, and I saw a little ledge up in our uncovered ceiling of our basement, and I reached my hand up, and I pulled out another cigarette. And it was the same brand and looked about the same as the other one. And I realized, you know, that thing's been there for a long time. And then we began to realize the night before we had been in the kitchen, it was right over that, and assembling some furniture and the whole family moving around, and perhaps it jolted it off of this ledge. But I bring that out to illustrate how quickly we can draw the whole picture. And as we were talking this through with the police and said, "Only ones that have a key are neighbors over there, and we know them well enough to know they'd never do anything like that. But I do have some more neighbors that I know have smoked, and there was a time that they knew where our spare key was, and they could have gone and made a copy of the key." And he said, "Well, we can go talk to them if you want." All those assumptions, the conclusions that I was coming to in my mind because I saw a couple pieces of information. You know, it's the way that we respond to things because we don't always have all the information. And I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a determination. Here's what I know. Here's what's happened. And I've got to make a decision. And how do I respond to this? You know, it shows how much we need the Lord because I've gotten myself into trouble before. This was one, thankfully we didn't send the police over to the neighbors. But this was one that we realized I had the picture all wrong. I had it all, it was altogether different than what I drew up in my mind. But you know, we can do that with all kinds of circumstances of life. We can do that with situations and dealings with one another. That I know a couple pieces of information and I can draw a complete picture in my mind. Somebody can say something and why did they say that? That's probably why they said that. And I can begin it, and the enemy's a willing accomplice. I can offer you all these suggestions of how it happened, of what the whole picture is, of what the circumstance is. And we can allow our imagination and our minds to concoct what a picture is that'll skew the judgment that we make. I'd like to look at the 11th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, speaking in prophecy of Jesus. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Have you ever turned this scripture into a prayer? I have. Lord, I need the Spirit of wisdom. I need the Spirit of understanding. I need the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might. Lord, I need to be able, I don't have it. I'm facing a circumstance. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need to give counsel to somebody here. Lord, I don't have the wisdom to be able to provide counsel. You know, there's one that came and had the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. One that judges righteous judgment. One that looks at a circumstance, a situation, and sees beyond what the eyes see. You know, that's where the extent of our ability goes. That's where our limitation is. That's all I can see. All I can see is the outward. I'd like to look in connection with this at 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. 1 Samuel 16. This is the situation when the Lord sent Samuel up to ordain or anoint a new king of Israel. And he knew that the family to whom this king was. Let's begin with 6th verse. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked upon Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called, and it goes through his other children. He called his other children before him, and Samuel looked upon it and realized, it's not that one. It's not that one. But if we were to put ourselves together and ask the question, what do we want in a king? What would you expect to see in a king? Well, maybe it's somebody that should have a booming voice. Maybe it's somebody that's authoritative. Maybe it's someone that is charismatic, that is a natural leader. You look on him and maybe he's taller than everybody else. And we could put a picture together of what a king would look like. But the Lord doesn't look as man looks. The Lord looked on the heart and he chose a shorter, ruddy, youngest son that wasn't even part of the pool of consideration. Do you have anyone else, Jesse? Well, I do have my other son. He's out tending sheep. Bring him. And the Lord said, if you read, the Lord made the selection. The Lord looking beyond the things that man would naturally look at. If we were to be able to think in the natural, how would a king enter this world? Wouldn't a king be born in palaces and in finest robes? Or would we say a king would be born in the hay of a stable? A king would be born, but yet the Lord has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, to confound those that lean upon their own understanding, that make their own discernments and judgment. Folks, the Lord wants us to be of a judgment that's sounder than our own reasoning, that's beyond our own thinking and thoughts. It's not within us. But the Lord wants us, the word is discernment, I believe. The Lord wants us to have discernment to be able to see, to be able to discern and make a right judgment about a situation that looks beyond what the surface of a man is. That looks beyond just the surface circumstance. Impulse. You ever bought something on an impulse? I remember we got out of college, needed some furniture for the house. And so we went to a furniture store and we were looking around and shopping, and one of the most helpful ladies came out. You know, she wanted to sell us something so bad, and she'd walk us around, and you know how they do sometimes. They'll see you looking at a table. Oh, yeah, that's it. Make it sound like it's the best table they have. You decide against it, look at, oh, that one's even better than this one. Anyway, she kept on and took us to one table, and we really liked it. It was outside of what we were wanting to spend, but she talked, and we left that store with ownership of a table we had no intention of buying. That cost more than we ever intended on spending. On an impulse. I looked at something, we made it, we decided we liked it, and we left there. We looked at each other and said, what did we just do? Why did we just buy that? You know what we did? We turned around, drove back to the store, said we want a refund. Not going to do that. Impulsive buying. You know, companies, stores, marketing agents will play to people's impulses to try to get somebody, oh, you need this. Limited time offer. For a very short time, you better decide quickly. You're not going to be able to do it when you come back. It's something how those limited time offers are always available. But you know, I believe the Lord would have us to be very careful in our lives with impulsive decisions. And the Lord's had to come along with me, because it's not only been the cigarette instance. There have been other times that I've said I've got it figured out. I see the picture. I know the circumstance, and I'm ready to make a decision. The Lord's had to come along and say, hold on. The Lord's had to work with me and deal with me. There's danger in leaning upon our own understanding. There's danger in relying and responding or reacting to my own impulses, to my own thoughts or my own reactions or instincts or impulses to something if it's not guided and governed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me that I would yield myself more fully to You, that Your Holy Spirit can guide my instincts more. But you know, it's still going to require a trust in the Lord. It's still going to require a reliance on the Lord that I not rely, that I realize I don't have enough in my own judgment to be able to make decisions, to be able to chart my course. Lord, I need You. Lord, help us to wait on the Lord, to realize my limitations, my handicaps. You know, prejudices can influence our judgment. Prejudices of things in the past. Recall an example in the Bible. Do you remember one Nathanael that heard of a man that came out of Nazareth? You remember what his reaction was? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, there was something that educated his decision. There was something that informed his response to that. There was something perhaps that he knew about those that came from Nazareth, or maybe they had a reputation, or maybe he had had dealings with people from Nazareth before, and his reaction was, "Oh, Nazareth, is it?" And it already began to inform his judgment of a person. So it told him, "Philip, I believe it was, come and see for yourself. Don't allow yourself to be judged by that first impression. Don't allow yourself by the influence of prejudices in your life." You know, it can come in our lives by hurts. It can be things of the past. It can be associations or reputation of family. "Oh, I know whose family they're from. I know who their parents were. I know who their grandparents were. And so I automatically kind of categorize. I automatically kind of assume, well, that's where they're going with that. Because I saw this family member do the same thing." Prejudices are for us to realize, "Lord, I'm prone. Lord, I may have things about me that are informing the way I look at things, the way I see things that may taint it that I don't even realize. I've had some things that I've experienced in my life. I've had some things that have hurt me in my life. And those things, when I see a situation, they can come back up. They can taint the way that I see or the way that I react to something now. Lord, help me to be aware of my limitations, aware of my handicap. Lord, help me to judge righteous judgment." John, the 7th chapter, Jesus instructed us in exactly that. John 7 and 24 says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Wait on the Lord." Scripture says that we be swift to hear, slow to speak. Another place, "God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." I want to be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know what? I believe it's Proverbs, and dealing with a fool again, it says that a fool is one that answereth a matter before he heareth it. He answers a matter, he's already got the answer before he even knows the situation. You ever known anyone like that? Has that person been called by your same name? Have I ever been that way in my life? That I come to places that I already know the answer. I've already reached the conclusion before I hear out the whole matter. Before I even get it. Maybe it's by the things I see. Maybe I see somebody and I see the way they're dressed in town and then I get to talking to them and I realize a tenderness or a searching. I say, "I never would have thought it. I never would have realized that's my limitation. Lord, help me to be able to see beyond that." You remember a time that Ezekiel was going forth, if I remember correctly, he was being sent of the Lord to deliver a message unto a people, and it said that he went and he sat where they sat for 7 days. And he sat among them and he observed them and he sat where they were before he ever even opened his mouth, before he ever even gave the message that he had to give. Oh, sometimes it's so much easier to have an answer. I've got an answer to everything. I've got, in other words, more than an answer, I've got a reaction. I've got a response to everything. Lord, help me to measure my response. Lord, help us that we be governed by the Holy Spirit and by the discernment of the Lord in the decisions that we make. We be able to judge righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, I believe, speaks about the natural man doesn't receive the things that are of God. They're spiritually discerned. He cannot receive them. He cannot understand. But it's given unto us by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God that searches the deep things of God. Oh, if it were up to me, I probably wouldn't have chosen David. I probably would have made the wrong decision here and the wrong decision there. Solomon himself, later in life, as he began to stray from his own counsel and began to lean into his own understanding and making leagues with the countries around him and the nations around him, taking unto himself wives of the nations around him as a perhaps an act of diplomacy. began to lean into his own understanding. I don't want to get into that place. I don't want us to get into that place in our lives. Folks, we need the Lord. We need the counsel of the Lord. We need to wait on the counsel of the Lord that we be able to judge righteous judgment. That I be able to add to my own handicap. Lord, help me to see what I don't see. Lord, help me to see the other piece of the picture. You remember what Elisha's prayer was to his servant? His servant came out and, how else would you think? We're defeated. Remember he looked out and he saw the multitude of the army and he felt defeated. But Elisha saw the rest of the picture. And he prayed, Lord, open their eye, open his eyes that he may see. And his eyes were open then and he saw what he didn't see before. He saw the rest of the picture, the rest of the equation. Folks, the Lord sees both sides of the picture all the time. But I don't in my own self. I don't see the full scenario and picture. So Lord, for the protection of my own soul, for my brother and my sister's sake, benefit of the doubt. Lord, help me to give the room and the space and the time to allow you to show me, to allow you to give me discernment and understanding of that piece of the picture that I may not see. And we'd be able, as Jesus said, not to just judge as the eyes see, but to be able to judge righteous judgment. Judge according to the seeing of the eyes, and the wolf that's dressed in sheep's clothing many times may go unnoticed. But folks, we must have a discerning of spirit. We must be able to have a discerning of that which is beyond just appearance in our world today. To be able to understand and discern beyond and deeper than that surface level, that we'd be able to judge righteous judgment. You pray for me. Amen.